You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Welcome, sir. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
All right, man. Sorry to disturb you on this World Cup Tuesday there, but, you know, we had to talk the business. All right? So, apparently, they had some arrest of fathers on Father's Day. Well, delinquent dads and who were not paying their child support. Right? Hello? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, who are not paying their child support. And I don't know how they probably have a database and they went after these so-called delinquent dads of all days on Father's Day. That is brilliant, because if you are a delinquent dad, if it's one thing you shouldn't be celebrating, or you could be celebrating Father's Day if you are a delinquent dad and you ain't paying your child support or whatever. But I mean, of course, it depends on the circumstances. But what are your thoughts on this?
Well, Kirk, as I said, it depends on the circumstances. I mean, let's start the ball rolling. Definitely, that it is important for any person, any non-custodial parent, to keep up with their responsibility when it comes to the payment of child maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
When we are hopeful that when the money is received, it is being spent on the child.
Right.
So, from the jump, there's no excuse for anybody who purposely neglects the payment of child maintenance, right? We get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, you know, there's a number of other elements that can be considered as well. Number one, at the top of the line, is are those 26, and you know, that has always been something we've been highlighting all the time. We've been enlightening the passage of legislation where there's potential testing before issuance of a maintenance order in the first place.
Uh-huh.
So that we are 100% sure when persons are made to pay the penance or have to go to imprisonment or dragged before a court for non-payment of child maintenance, that they are it is done so justly, meaning that they are 100%
right.
The biological parents of the children.
Mm-hmm.
It had nothing for me to come here to say to justify nothing.
Mm-hmm. So let's just say in an instance where a father believes he is not the father, and he's ordered to pay maintenance, is up to him, or will the court determine doing that paternity test or something? How does that work?
No, well, how it goes is the law is written in a particular way where fatherhood is presumed.
Mm-hmm.
So paternity is confirmed via presumption, basically, most times.
Mm.
So once your name on the birth paper, or if you are married to the individual, every child that they bear is yours.
Right, okay.
Legally.
Mm.
You understand? However, you will be able to attest that I myself have brought evidence and testimony before you on numerous times when we did the paternity testing. The data where it showed one out of every three men tested
right.
at that particular lab were proven not to be the father of those children. There was a particular, as I told you, there were actually more negative tests than positive that came in as well.
Hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So it is something that exists in our society, as well as there are negligent fathers in our society also.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot turn a blind eye to the fact, because we have, as I said, we have presented the evidence to back it, that there are a great number of fathers who also, well, not fathers, men who are incarcerated, or men who have maintenance orders or have been paying maintenance for children that are not theirs.
Right.
And there may be men who pay in religiously, and there's never a warrant being taken out for them.
Yeah.
And the child may not be theirs right now at this point in time. You never know unless a paternity test is done. And the point is this. It is unfair to have someone imprisoned, incarcerated, for a child that isn't their child.
Of course.
There's no justifying.
Mm-hmm.
There's no justification for anybody who is negligent, purposely and willfully negligent, and decides to not pay maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuse I could make for you.
Yeah. Well, what if a man says, listen, I tell this woman I did not want to have this child. I did not want anything to do with this child in this pregnancy. I mean, of course, there's a you're a big man. We say you're going there, unprotected thing or whatever, things happen.
Right.
But she come back and say I'm pregnant. You say, well, I didn't sign up for this and I don't want nothing to do with that. She say, well, I go in another shallow. Maybe she even lie to you and tell you that she ain't having the child. All your breakup, she ain't want to see again. And the next 2 years, you find out, you know, like Forrest Gump, you have a child out there. You know, and then she bring you to court. I mean, how does that play off? How would that play off?
Well, I mean, the way how the current law or legal framework is structured, that matters not at the end of the day. Once you could be proven the biological parent of the child.
Wow, that is it.
That is the end of it.
Okay.
So I understand socially the double standard.
Yeah.
Because in instances where the woman doesn't want the child.
Right, she have all right, yeah. Exactly.
They would say her body, her right.
Right, right.
So one would expect that in the instance of where a man is saying, I don't want to be a father, you'd expect that it is his sperm, his right.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, we live in a double standard world, and people won't call a spade a spade, but that is exactly what happened. But based on the legal part of it, forget the social perception of it, where you have that social banter between my body, your body, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The legal aspect of it currently as it stands is that whether you want the child or not, if the child is here and you are the biological parent for the child, whether you are man or woman, you are responsible. My issue is this, though. You know that some of the persons who are the worst to pay maintenance are women.
Women.
The few women.
Mm-hmm.
The few women who have maintenance orders.
Yeah.
When you speak to their husbands, they owe maintenance in the hundreds of thousands, some of them. But for some reason, I have never seen when one of these articles come out, they mention women. I have women I could send them to go and meet right now who they're looking for. So it's always strange to me that it's only men that they find.
Yeah. And how is an instance where a woman would owe child support? She leave the child with a man or some kind of thing? Well, how does that work?
It's either she might have left the child with the man, or at the end of the day, it means they had to get to court. Whether the mother would have left in the earlys or whether she was there and the court determined the father in rare instance. There's 32%, based on statistic, 32% of the times a man has found his way to be given custody, care, and control.
Right.
Primarily, it's mainly the mother most times, but 32% of the times men have been able to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So that 32%, if they choose to apply for child maintenance, rightfully supposed to be paid child maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
The difference with men and women is most men that have custody don't apply for child maintenance.
Okay.
Most of them. So my child will recommend my child.
It's a man thing. It's like a man thing, yeah? Even though the woman could be making 10 times more money than you.
Correct. Mm. A man that said, that is my child. But then there are those that have to try. I tell you right now, I could send them to find a woman where the father is, he lost his arm, and he has his two sons with him.
Right.
And he's always back and forth with warrants, and she not paying it, and she says she ain't working now. But as I was saying, when we see these ads, these newspaper articles come out, or when the police decide to batch up all the warrants they have on Father's Day to go, they should have picked up one or two of the women who have as well.
And they might do it on Mother's Day.
No, pick them up anytime. Because at the end of the day, we can't wait till Mother's Day if the children suffering. Just like we can't wait till Father's Day if the children suffering. So in that sense, and here the ironic part, in the instance where the mother is to be arrested on a warrant for child maintenance, you're sure is she child?
Yeah.
No question.
No question, definitely.
You're 100% sure that is the mother of the child.
Yeah.
But it is better. It grabs better media attention when you can
blame
all the men to do it, right?
Right.
So you further purport the perception of deadbeat fatherhood and these things.
Yeah.
But really and truly, there's a number of things as well. We may be calling a man a deadbeat too. And we don't know if the man lost his work last year.
Mm-hmm.
He was working CPEP, he was working forestry, he was working wherever. We have no idea that if he lost his job and he was paying maintenance, you don't know if the man's sick. Look, I highlighted the father whose kidneys was failing kidneys for years, and they keep bringing up maintenance warrant after warrant. If I didn't highlight that, he would have made jail. He passed away eventually. He was so ill, he passed away eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Anson Mohammed.
Yeah.
And we would have called him a deadbeat too.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth of the matter is, the man was working nowhere. He had failing kidneys. He had heart failure, living on 12% functionality of his heart. But he getting a warrant coming out for him, and would you believe that that child was getting welfare because of his condition?
Mm-hmm. What
warrant was still be taken out for him?
Yeah. What are the repercussions now? Like you say, a woman who when a man paying maintenance for a child that is not his, and in the court
right.
it is found out that a child is not his, are there any repercussions for that female? Any jail time, anything?
There are laws currently, and that's the problem. I don't know if we have some 2x4 lawyers sometimes, or even sometimes the judges I have seen, magistrates at times, not even aware of everything that is in the Family Act.
Yeah.
Section 30 explicitly says, once you could prove that the person isn't spending the money on the child, which is something I think maybe a bit of a task for you to prove, right? But if you could prove that the money isn't being spent on the child, or you have solid evidence that you think the child doesn't look like he's being taken care of or she's being taken care of, you could bring an application before the court. And the penalty need to increase though, because the penalty is $1,000 or 2 months in jail. I feel the penalty could go up to about $10,000 and 6 months in jail.
Yeah.
So that you know that is a serious matter if you mismanage the funds that is being paid. But there is the only legislative work base that is missing in that maintenance act, the Family Act, in the maintenance section, is paternity testing before ordering a maintenance order.
Yeah.
There are parts, they have section 27.4, which gives the magistrate power that if this man is brought before you, a man like I talk about, like Anson Muhammad, who really, you see this man medical issues, or you see this man lost his job, and they're going to take him to jail, the magistrate has the power to not commit him to jail.
Right.
That's section 27.4 in the Family Law Act. You understand? Yeah, section 27.5, and they discontinued this now, but they used to do it before. When men was incarcerated for maintenance before, maintenance used to be running under the old system. And when they come out, they had a warrant waiting to lock them up again. You understand? Section 27.5 forbids that from happening unless a magistrate see that it is fit so to do. You understand? So we have a plethora of laws in the Family Act pertaining to maintenance that I think plenty lawyers never see in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think even some magistrates, because I can remember a situation where a magistrate told me, they cannot suspend maintenance. They could only revoke it. And if you look at section 21.2, it says something totally different. So maybe I think there may be a gap with where it comes to litigation, but you can bring somebody before the court if you think that they're getting the maintenance and they're wasting the money maintaining the child.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
I do agree that it should be amended and a greater consequence paid.
Mm-hmm.
Because, if you're wasting money at $1,000, you could pay that and walk away.
Yeah.
You want to give them something to feel it in their pocket so it deters them from mismanaging or misusing the money that is for the benefit of the child.
Mm-hmm.
The money have nothing to do with the custodial parent.
Mm-hmm.
It is only for the benefit of the child. Yeah. And I think some people miss that point and fact.
Right. Now, let me say the thing ain't going through the court. Would you advise, because you have some women have some understanding, and some men and some women have some understanding for the child or the children, right? Yeah. And let me say the father given, would you advise the father to still keep a receipt of what's been given, just in case later on mother start a couple, things just happen?
I would always advise bank transfers.
Oh, bank transfers. Yeah, you have a track record.
So
you have to
keep no paper receipt that might fade or you might lose it.
Right.
But you have a track record of your monthly contribution. And
yeah.
That is something that if you have a good lawyer, your lawyer should be able to represent you. If you brought before the court for child maintenance and you want maintaining your child all the time, your lawyer should be able to stand and say, but this man takes care of his child without fail.
Right.
What he being brought before a magistrate for child maintenance, it just can't be added as a supplement to custody. He has been taking care of his child with no issue and no quarrel.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? You see, where the law to me is lacking and failing is that you've created the maintenance law to with a consequence of imprisonment, so as to deter or rather encourage, if they believe so, people to pay. And however, you have not filled the loophole of persons who may be imprisoned for children that they were deceived about. And it is a reality.
Yeah, but isn't it up to your duty as a man if you have any doubts? Right. I mean, do the test. I mean, if no matter what, do the test.
Well, you can. I mean, but that is an next application in itself. If the magistrate, and many men will tell you that they are fearful sometimes when they apply for custody or access, and the magistrate then asks them for confirmation. Do you confirm that you are the father of XYZ child? Many of them will tell you they're fearful to say no, because they believe it will set them at a disadvantage when it comes to the custody hearing.
Right.
Because if it comes back and it's their child, the magistrate go look at them and say, but you didn't. You understand? And that is another part of the culture that the culture the court have that needs to change. You need to understand that no matter if a man is married, no matter if a man is in a 20-year relationship, no matter what, he honestly never knows with a certainty if he is a biological parent of a child unless he is tested. Some people will swear by their hand and their foot because the child look like them, and when you test them, it's the cousin child.
You are not the father.
Marty.
Yeah.
You understand? It's a close family member's child and not their biological child. So I think the culture, the court must be understanding and must even be, I mean, encouraging to let persons, you asking, you not being certain about paternity or just wanting confirmation of paternity. You understand? A court should encourage you, you know, if whether you feel so or not, you need to understand the consequences of non-payment. The consequences of non-payment is imprisonment. It means you could have your job today and you fall on hard times and then you can't pay. And then when by the time they come to lock you up, you just get back a job. And then when they come to lock you up, you lost the next job too. And you recycled into a cycle of financial hardship.
So how is the money being paid determined? I mean, let me say you're not somebody who have consistent work. Let me say you're a laborer whenever they call you out thing, you know. How is that money really determined for what you are to pay?
And that is another challenge too.
You are
most times going, this is how it works, particularly in a magistrate court, more so than with the judges and these kind of things, where they might ask for statements or payment and these kind of things. But in the magistrate court, you feel you could pay this? And some men studying...
That's what it does, actually. You feel you could pay this?
Yeah, you could pay 300, you could pay 400 a week. And then sometimes the person not even being paid weekly. They're being paid bi-weekly, or they're being paid monthly, or they say they're getting an end where they're making here and there. And I always encourage men, do not agree to something that you cannot do.
Yeah.
You understand? And sometimes if we are honest, the kind of cost that we just charge, or the kind of bills that some pay, we forget that both parents are the ones that supposed to contribute. If the expenses for your child monthly is about $1,500 or $2,000 a month, it means the mother has a responsibility to cover $1,000, the father have a responsibility to cover $1,000 as well. You both have a responsibility, so you can't come and tell a man pay the whole $2,000 and you have no responsibility itself. And this is why also we promote, and there are other ways to avoid this issue of maintenance, back and forths, and mismanagement, and inability to pay. It's by introducing things like shared parenting in spaces and between couples or ex-couples where it could work. Because there are sometimes guys who have the capability and women who have the capability to both be able to share care and control. 1 week by this one, 1 week by that one. And in instances like that, nobody don't need a maintenance then. Because both parties have shown the competence, they've shown the financial reliability and the financial competence as well to be able to maintain the child at a suitable standard, all parties involved. When they have bills, particular bills that need to be split, they could split it along the center. And I am telling you, that will do away with a lot of the issue. Many times, maintenance sometimes is because it and here the nice part, I tell you, the law, the maintenance law, the section of the Family Act, the maintenance law, has so much provisions that they could tell whoever sat in Parliament, gave good consideration, and at least decent consideration. That is one of the sections of law I realize that they gave a lot of thought. So, when you look at Section 27, 2A and B and these things, you will see that the first thing that they make when they spoke about when you mention in maintenance is for the seizure of chattels and goods, and if the person has something you could seize, like better you seize that than you put somebody in jail. The state mine them in this prison cell. The child still don't get no money out of them being incarcerated. Then you might have destroyed the cycle of our next family now that he need to work for to also help to provide as well. And nobody benefit in the end of the day. I always remember the past commissioner gave us a issue that he had to deal with. And it was the fact that this gentleman would have gotten imprisoned for a child from a past relationship, right? I think he fell on hard times. He and the wife used to try to pay the maintenance. He missed one and the warrant take him and bam, he was in prison. While he was in prison, he was sexually assaulted. He was raped.
Huh.
Buggered. And he never tell nobody. And then when he was released, he came back out to his family normal. You know, he would have had sexual relationship with his wife and so forth. Only to find out he contracted HIV when he was buggered.
Hmm.
And spread it to the wife.
Wow.
So these things have long reach. And then you ask yourself, in certain situations, is imprisonment really fixing the scenario? You understand? So this is a big topic that really needs consideration. We need to be able to find ways to be able to, I mean, if you have a maintenance law, right? If you have a maintenance law, and you really, the intent of the child maintenance law is to extract finance out of the party, then you have to do, you have to have things also fully legislated, which I could say is another shortfall of the act itself too, where you could extract funds out of persons, not just send them in prison. You understand? So in other words, you could look at engaging ankle bracelets that set you up to have curfews and these kind of things until you clear your maintenance, still allow you to be outside to work so that you can pay when you put the person in jail. And then you create a stereotype of, hey, you know, he come out of jail just the other day. Nobody might even ask for what. Make it harder for him to be employed. You will just be recycling that person in jail right through, and he will never be able to make a child maintenance payment for the benefit of the child.
All right, man. Let me get some, nice one. Some questions here. Good afternoon. I desperately need some assistance on how to proceed with my situation because I'm tired of spending dead money as a single parent and getting nowhere. I'm dealing with this over 12 years. The child is 14 years now, and we've been in court since he was 2 years old. This thing going on for so long. I got full custody of the child at age 4. The father was made to pay $1,300 monthly. The father owes over $200,000, right? He is an ex-fire officer, high up, retired last year. Sent notification to fire services, spent over $25,000 to $30,000 in lawyer fees. The system here is hard for poor people who cannot afford to pay a big lawyer. Please call or message me with some advice. So there's a mother talking about her father thing. What's your advice to this
one? My point exactly.
Hmm.
I mean, even him being incarcerated wouldn't assist, but you need to find ways to extract payment out of him. So I know in issues like this, and if this is before the court,
I mean, why does take 12 years so long? I mean,
and the thing is, it's possibly sometimes what you apply for.
Hmm.
Go to a lawyer, look at section 27, look at section 27, 2A, and look at where it comes to dealing with seizure of chattels and goods, and go that direction instead of going section, I think it's section 27, 2B, which entails taking out the warrant to get them locked up.
Mm-hmm.
Look at brain at some kind of asset that he may have. He may have some pension to come or some kind of thing. And if you look at the seizure of goods and chattels and make an application for that so to be done, then it may work out better.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a culture in Trinidad, you know, and some people must not even know that it's part of the law.
Yeah.
So some people think the only repercussion is to go straight, lock up the person, and take out, and where nobody going to get anything.
All right, there we go. Next question here. Hello, 675. Call us back. 625-225-7627-3223. Maybe some of you fathers out there, you know, have some situations. We have Rondell Fields here, Single Fathers Association. Right? Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brother Fields.
Good afternoon.
Yes, you mentioned about sometimes with paternity testing, you may find out the child is for a cousin or uncle. I mean, what if it's for a brother? You know, the good book says we have to be our brother's keeper. But on a more serious note, the issuance of maintenance warrant, Brother Fields, how effectively these maintenance warrants are issued when the person who has to pay this maintenance is another police officer. I can't remember through the newspapers seeing police. I mean, maybe I missed it. But how effectively you think these warrants are issued to fellow police officers who owe that outstanding water rate or maintenance?
And that's a good question. Is a question that I think is possibly subjective when it comes to particular stations or particular police officers, because I've seen some police officers being haunted vehemently, and I've seen some, you know, get an easy ride. So I can't say which dictates what, but I have seen that happen. I have seen many police officers themselves being haunted by the peers for the same thing, the same way. And it's as I said to me, the whole warrant process, I think, is a complicated one, because you would hear, not only for maintenance, even like for bench warrants, when person's not coming to court, you'd always hear there isn't service, or then the police might say sometimes that the person don't want to be found or they can't find them, which sometimes is actually true as well. So that the whole warrant part and service of warrants and executing warrants on people is, I would say, sometimes challenging. I would also say, I don't want to knock the police on all the parts of it, because I have had many warrant officers call me and who do actually empathize with the non-custodial parents at that time and say, hey, we know this fella from the area, and we know the fella trying, and boy, before the man could catch himself, we know it's our next warrant the person taking out on him. You understand? What we could do to help this guy. Sometimes they would let the guy bring the payment and they would go and pay it in the court. So I have also seen the side of warrant officers also trying to assist as well.
Yeah, to work
within the remits of the law.
Yeah. And sometimes does the man get a little grace period? Even the court give him a little grace period, or when they order, you have to pay right away?
Well, if it's the first time, if you are brought before the court, possibly for the first time they brought before, not that the first instance. Well, they now had the warrant now taken out and now bring in initially on the warrant for the first time, the magistrate, and you tell the magistrate that don't have the money to pay this at this point. Sometimes the time is always too short. So sometimes they have a maintenance for $10,000 and the magistrate says, all right, I'll give you 2 months to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They will give you the 2 months, which most times they're glad to come back out, but you know, you have no way to find that 10,000 in 5 months, in 2 months, sorry.
Yeah.
And then a committal warrant is taken out for you. With that warrant now is to take you straight to jail, because you didn't wasn't able to pay the money in the time that was stipulated by the magistrate, who gave you an allotment of time to try to procure the money to settle the debt.
All right.
So, I say that there are other ways to do this. The law facilitates for the seizure of goods and chattels. And a man might not have $10,000 cash, but he might have something worth value at $10,000.
Yeah.
Might have a chain.
A chain, some gold or some kind of thing.
Might
have
a gold.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
And I mean, you use that and you seize that asset and you prevent the person from having to go before the prison, go into the prison system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to your guest, Mr. Fields.
Good afternoon.
You know, you hear what I'm feeling, eh? I just always find that when it comes to children, Randall, you're making it look as though a man paying down an installment on a fridge. Like, me have it this month, me have it next month. To me,
right,
the question of having somebody pregnant, and I always put the whole question, not defending women, but I always feel if a man pen in the ink, nobody would call his name. If you know you're going there, you know that sex could bring about a child. That is a big responsibility.
Agreed.
To me, I'm not talking down, but to me, we trivializing the whole question of a child where it reached the court and a man have a dismantle. If you have a family, let your family give you support to get that child going. Because every month diminishing in relation to the responsibility of the child to finance is a backward step for that child. And we have to see that as a bigger picture. So for me, under the root cause, you all have to deal with root cause. Instead, lecture to men about family. Lecture to men about the question of sex and the consequence of it. It must be a root cause situation that reaches the question of people having children, and then we're trying to deal with it. And look where, in the court. The other thing, to me, a lot of your conversation deals with the court and Section 35 and so on. Those things could be prevented if you have a more organized body in the question of family and family life. And I think it could dwindle a little bit, the question of men getting involved, where most of the resolution with the life and the children would be in the court. I keep listening.
All right, good. Well, I mean, it's always easy for us to say that, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, things just happen. Yeah. Things happening out there. Men living out there.
Whether mistakes happen or not, at the end of the day, we're dealing with with an issue that is current and ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you would always make preventative measures. Of course, you would always have preventative counsel. But you cannot heal an issue that is now current and live. It's already existing.
Yeah.
It's already happening in a particular person, and then talk about preventative. Preventative is before. So we understand the value of that. And I mean, I could go into a bigger catapult as showing the crises that men face sometimes that cause the whole catapult. It's a lot bigger than having counsel with men and tell men, you know, be more proactive. Yes, counsel is part of it, but there are other things too. There are other things that we could talk about in the system itself that doesn't really train a man to be a father. We have instances where from paternity, look, we're fighting for paternity laws right now.
Yeah.
The state itself believes that 2 to 3 days is satisfactory for a father.
Yeah, but and a woman getting about 3-4 months.
Correct.
How much?
The state itself believes that 4 days a month is satisfactory for a father who wants to be involved.
Mm.
These are the things that emanating from these are the laws that we have. These are the precedents that we have set. So it's easy for us to always go on a podium and say, let me talk to men, let me talk to men, let me talk to men. Just as we always say, let me tell men about their health. But you don't even have a men's mental, or not even mental, but any type of men's health framework.
Yeah.
But you want men to understand or to look for triggers when they should come to the doctor, and you want to know, and you blame it all on the man without realizing that we're not catering to men as we are catering to women.
Mm-hmm.
So as I say, I don't want to get sidetracked with the root causes, because that is a different conversation. We're not talking about root causes. We're talking about this current issue and how this issue is to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to get sidetracked with that at all.
No, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, so if we're dealing with this current issue, as much as they say, if you wasn't there, your name wouldn't call.
Mm-hmm.
It don't mean that you was there, so you're supposed to take the responsibility for somebody else who is responsible. That don't mean because your name called, it mean all right, it was 4 of us that was there. The woman never told any of us, where's her responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
Where's her accountability? Is he suggesting that women are not to be held accountable for her sexual partners or sexual behavior? Or if she had 4 men around a similar time, point in time, and neither of them knew?
Yeah, some so women don't even know who the child's father is.
Men and women.
Yeah, some women don't even know who the child's father is. And just will pick one. Might pick the one. Who, yeah, no?
Yeah. They will pick the one, and women have admitted to this when they did the qualitative testing and analysis in Jamaica as well.
Mm.
They admitted that they selected the person who was the best mate, the person who had the best job, the person who they would provide the child with the best life.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
we can't undermine the significance of other contributing factors, because we want to say a man should have never go there in the first place. If he didn't go in, he would have never called.
That's right.
That's irresponsible to do so.
Yeah. I want to think out of the box. The box here. What about Single Fathers Association or thing with the courts teaming up with some financial institution? Let me say a credit union or something, and you have, you know, for lack of a better word, the maintenance loan, where if the father has some kind of collateral, he could get some money and, you know, be paying the maintenance instead of having him go to prison or something.
No, but I mean, I don't think it's about getting the credit union to pay. At the end of the day, I think the system needs to be revamped into strategic, a more strategic standpoint where it is the best way, where we can find the best ways to extract the finance from the men. The first place to start, there should be some council that reviews the maintenance after it is ordered. Because some men will just go in there and say, yes, I could pay $1,000 a week. That time you don't have a place to be able to find that kind of, or procure that kind of funds. You must have somebody that says, well, all right, this is sufficient based on the lifestyle of this child. This is sufficient for mother to pay. This is sufficient for father to pay.
And well, as you said, that who really determines the lifestyle of the child? Because some mothers might want to say, I want this and that, and then the child might be, you know, very silly child is 2-3 years old. I mean, you gotta spend your money on your child, but you know, who really determines what the child should be paid?
But that is it, and that is why you have to have some kind of means test, so you have to have some median or some area, you understand, based on the income of the parents, what is justifiable. It just can't be about, I think I could pay for this because, but then the man may have just procured a house or something and have at least some mortgage of some type. And he can't pay that because he making $20,000 and he must be paying at $8,000 in mortgage. So you need to have some financial experts sometimes when you set in some of these prices, because I know a lot of people over invoice the prices and a lot of people agree to pay things that they could never pay in the first place because our country socially is lacking when it comes to financial intelligence and financial management, and they have no clue.
Yeah.
But they know when they're working, they must be making $1,000 a week.
Right. I'll take our last call here. Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I hear Mr. Fields saying that the guy might have something of value that you could take instead of locking him up. Now, right. I agree, but if you have something of value, you should dispose of it and pay the money. Secondly, when you say, I have committed to pay, and then you don't pay, what about the bills for that child? I mean, let's say the mother is paying some rent or contributing to the household in which she lives, and the child has to go to school, and you know, there's bills and whatnot, and you don't pay. Who pays those bills? Yes.
Well, I mean, we totally understand that. We agree with that position, right? That is what we've been saying.
Yeah, we never say men though shouldn't pay.
We're not saying that nobody should pay. And obviously, when it comes to the disposing of goods, that is not something that you possibly could do in the length of time before you need to pay the bill. You understand? So, possibly, that is why it's better to have that. Instead of you having to run by a pawn shop, or instead of you now trying to look for somebody to purchase and you can't get it sold in time, if the state could hold it for you, or if the state say, all right, we're holding this piece of jewelry you have, you're owing XYZ, when you pay the money, we'll return it to you. So, I mean, it's more or less that is what we suggest and what the law suggests to do and what I think is an intelligent position. And we don't disagree with the fact that the child will fall on hardship if maintenance isn't paid. What the point we've been making is that a man should not be imprisoned for a child that is not biologically his, and he may have been deceived to think it's his. And it have no way nobody will make me agree with that.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, there is one party who is aware of who their sexual partners are, and that will not be the man. I had to deal with a police officer who had 2 children that when they were tested, they were never his children.
2 children,
right? Right? 2 children. So it's easy for us to make it sound, and that is his wife. That is not a girlfriend, right? So when we try to belittle some of these instances and say, well, it's nothing and it's a child and you could take care of it, nobody's saying no.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, a person should never be imprisoned for a child
that is not his own. Yeah.
That is not his own.
They always say mummy's baby, daddy's maybe.
Correct. Yeah. And I the only other thing I will add to that is that if we're looking for persons, non-custodial parents that are not paying maintenance, there are many women who aren't paying also, and we should also see them. Also, we should see them brought on the list, because those children in the care of their fathers need money too.
Level the playing field, man, yeah? All right.
Yeah, it's not about leveling playing field, it's about executing the law.
But that too.
Because if the law says to hold them, they ought to be held the same way.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Fields. Well, thank you very much, sir. And thank you for fighting the good fight at Fathers. The lady one who had the thing with the 12-year-old and the fireman and things, she's asking me for your number. Am I allowed to give her your number?
Yeah, you could let WhatsApp me now.
WhatsApp me. Okay, no problem, man. Cool.
Right here.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.